some other humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangsters humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
And we're back.
Even though we were never gone.
As far as the listener can tell, no, because it's going to be a completely separate episode with intro and outro music.
Yeah, fuck you, listener.
Listen, get a life.
They really need to do more listening and subscribing and contribute to our Patreon page that doesn't exist.
Yeah, less so listening, really... go subscribe, but then more listening.
And giant dildos.
Yeah.
And if you... stick them in the front of your car, smash into other cars.
No, that's what the Patreon's for. That we don't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So they're gonna have to DIY it themselves for a while.
Standard listener can't actually do giant dildos.
Until we get the wrong dong up and running.
Did I say dilders? Dillers.
Oh my god, you're even more Midwest than us now.
Yeah, I went.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm really excited to hear Nick's story. I think Nick's going next.
Nick is editing his story right now.
I saw this at the beginning. It's in the first paragraph, so it obviously stood out to me.
He's edited it for 3,000 hours.
No, like 3,000 years. Like, traveled back in time pre-Christianity.
Christianity? I don't want to hear that nonsense.
No, pre-Christianity.
Still bad.
All
right. Yeah, you're right.
Go. Let's go.
I'm super excited because my story also involves Satan.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Not as a main part, but just as a fringe thing that comes up once in a while.
That's fine. Satan abides.
I guess that's
yes.
All right.
The Satan abides, except when he doesn't, he kills you in fiery fire.
Yep.
Okay.
Look at Mel trying not to laugh.
I'm just waiting.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready for this.
Patient.
I feel so stupidly proud of myself for the title of this story, mm-hmm. even though it's really, really dumb. And so I think
self-deprecating.
I'm gonna explain it at the end because of why I'm so proud of it. But this story is called Stand and Deliverance. Part one, The Entrepreneurs.
Oh, that sounds sophisticated.
It does. And I see several illusions, like, in my mind, so...
Sounds sophisticated.
I don't even know what an illusion is, so that's cool.
The reference to a previous word.
There you go. Not an illusion, which, not to be confused with magic.
Illusion.
Yes, indeed.
No, although there could be some of that, too.
There you go.
There will be absolutely no illusions in my story, aside from the title.
Okay.
Stand and Deliverance, Part 1, The Entrepreneurs. Our story opens on a pair of entrepreneurs, a female frog person and a gnome man, walking along the road to Boots, scouting for a location for the next business venture. They had been walking for miles, finally evading their pursuers from the previous town that hosted their most recent failed attempt at commercial success. Their clothes were dirty, and they both looked exhausted. The frog woman stopped in the middle of the road and shouted, "By the ghost stench on the ghost taint on the ghost of Gorgogonoth!" Forefinger, we've been on the road for days. I feel like I've been trying to dance the hunka chunka on broken glass. We haven't eaten since Blur's Day, and we've got fuck all for a business plan. The gnome, nicknamed Forefinger Discount, who used to be named Five Finger Discount due to his ability to part coin from unsuspecting customers, but changed it... after losing a pinky finger to one of those angry customers, also stopped and rubbed the bridge of his nose between his very thick, graying eyebrows. I'm aware of that, Slippy. I'm working on our next move, but we just barely escaped getting sexed to death by that angry mob from the cult of murder sex. So for now, could you just shut your giant cunt mouth? The woman immediately kicked the gnome in his tiny gnome-sized balls.
Yeah.
I told you never to call me that, she screamed, as he collapsed into a heap and violently vomited. I swear by the robo-overlords of Metal Mech Mountain, I will totally ruin your raisin sack if you ever speak of me like that again. Forefinger groaned and rolled back and forth on the ground. He said, through clenched teeth, What? Cunt, you use that word all the time. Now you're gonna bust my balls about it? She rolled her eyes. No, you moron, not cunt. Cunt is a great word. Cunty cunt Cunterton. She'll be cunting round the mountain when she cunts. This caused Forefinger to hop up off the ground, and the two of them danced in a circle, singing a round of She'll be cunting round the mountain.
Of course.
She'll be cunting round the mountain when she cunts.
When she cunts. At the end of which, Forefinger remembered that his balls really hurt, and he collapsed on the ground once more. I told you never to tell me my mouth was big. You know how much shit I got for it when I tried to open that brothel slash tea house. You can't have boiling hot tea where people are trying to fuck prostitutes.
That is so true. Never, no one's ever thought of that. Fucking true. It's very true.
Forefinger was recovering and tenuously returned to his feet. Yes, Slippy, I remember. I don't need to be reminded of it once again. The memories would haunt Forefinger for some time. Several naked patrons' genitals received severe burns from spilled hot tea caused by a wizard unwittingly creating a cyclone while coming.
Oh, God.
Bye, Chizik.
You know how wizards are. They're always shooting out lightning bolts or fireballs or some shit mid-gasm. Their other unsuccessful business plans included sunglasses that never came off, a jerk chicken spice rub made mostly of dirt and the collected semen from the tea house slash brothel, and a series of children's educational books called Hook It on Pahonics, in which children were taught to grossly misuse vowel forms in common words. There is somewhere out there an entire generation of young people who cannot stop saying words like necromancy and Eidvintur and Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
They're hooking on Pahonics. Their most recent failed business venture, the one that had put them on the road earlier that week, involved the Land of's Cult of Murder Sex, Western Division, Lodge 3.
Jesus Christ. The lore is so deep, I can't even handle it.
It is.
Forefinger had forged some religious texts based on the ancient writings of the cult, and was trying to start a new movement of literal religious text interpreters, which didn't mean they literally interpreted the meanings of the text, but they read them while pronouncing all of the punctuation and capitalization aloud. It sounded something like this. Capital WN, the darkest of dark lords of sex murder, join together, comma, and force their slaves to accurately document their rantings and ravings during their unholy fornications, comma. They were like, comma, quotation marks, hey, comma, slaves, scribes, comma, you want to come transcribe and illustrate all this hot, hot murder loving, question mark, quotation marks?
What the fuck? Oh my god. Oh shit. Oh.
Needless to say, it was very, very difficult to read. But Forefinger and Slippy were hoping that the confusion created by listening to something that convoluted would distract the cultists from recognizing that Forefinger had pulled all of that out of his ass. The cultists listened carefully, absorbing each line, then went to perform a sex murder ritual to commune with their dark, sticky gods over the new text. By the end of it, the cultists had recognized the falsity of the text and chased after Slippy and Forefinger with their dangerous weaponized sex toys in hand.
Oh my god.
Ready to dole out some terrifying sexy vengeance.
Oh fuck.
And there's no vengeance like terrifying sexy vengeance.
That's true. That's true.
Giant car dildos!
At this point, they would have been attached to wagons, but I appreciate it.
Or horses.
Or chariots. Yes, excellent. I like it. Let's travel back in time and get this shit going.
Oh my god, imagine a horse with a giant dildo on its forehead.
Yeah, you unicorn. Mean a unicorn?
Yeah, but it's a dildo.
Uniporn?
Of... A dildo corn.
Yes, a unicorn. Nick had it. Uniporn.
Anywho. Slippy says, I'm starting to think our business schemes are never going to turn a profit. Maybe I just should have stayed in Trailer Parkville. At least I knew what direction my life was going there. The only things you had to worry about were the weekly tornadoes.
So dumb.
Trailer Parksville was just another tiny village with little to no upward mobility for its residents.
No.
Slippy had joined up with Fourfinger when he came through a year prior, selling discount seeing stones that got the expensive cable porn channels.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
She had helped him convince the townspeople that they were not, in fact, just poorly drawn images of a troll fucking a pumpkin and other acts of sexual misadventure.
What? It's the mother humping land of.
The gnome moved to reassure her. Now, we'll come up with an idea. There's always money to be made. Why don't we make our way over to the river? We should at least be able to catch some fish and at least have something to eat. They left the road and turned in the direction of the wide river of Flabobobobobobobobin. The large river running through the land of, originating in Lake Meh. Before reaching the river, near the intersection at the roads of Murdy and Boots, they saw a large black ring of lifeless ground, as if a fire had burned all the vegetation in a perfect circle. They could see the destroyed, desiccated remains of what used to be a small building in the center of the ring of desolate earth. Just outside the ring, where grasses and weeds still grew, stood a sign that read, "Beware, all who enter are cursed." That sign had an X crossing out the phrase, and a sign next to it read, "All who enter will die." That, too, was crossed out, and a sign next to it read, "All who enter will die and be cursed." That also was crossed out, and the sign next to it read, "Excellent location, plenty of foot traffic for a small business venture, discounted for quick sale."
Is this the taco shack?
That remains to be seen.
Oh, shit.
Instantly forgetting his hunger and exhaustion, Fourfinger's eyes lit up. "Would you look at this?" He slapped his knee. "What was I just saying? I knew something would come along. It's even on sale. And just look at this location. These are two of the busiest roads in the land. And you know travelers and merchants are going to want to buy something if it's this convenient near the road."
They'd be fools not to.
Slippy wasn't sure, but the gnome's excitement was contagious. "I suppose it's a great spot for just about any business. Eyebrow styling, parcel delivery, food, trinkets, taint waxing, goblin taint waxing. Damn, Fourfinger, we could make a killing with a specialty goblin taint waxing service. You know they have just the hairiest goddamn taints."
Goddamn, yes I do.
But what about all these crossed out signs? Fourfinger was only half listening with all the ideas running through his head. "What? Oh, those. It's likely just some punk-ass teenagers. You know how they are. I'm surprised there's not a pipeweed leaf painted somewhere, or a giant dick, or the word fuck, or an orc Nazi symbol. Darn rapscallions. But anyway, we'll never find a better, cheaper location. And I'm thinking that at this major intersection, without anything to eat until the next town, the highest profits will be in a food stand of some kind."
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
They walked onto the blackened ground. Slippy felt a slight pressure in her head, and the further toward the ruined remains of the building they went, the greater it grew. She shrugged it off as Fourfinger rattled on about some outdoor seating arrangements and wallpaper patterns and some other shit. So what type of food are you thinking? Soup in an ogre head bread bowl? Seaweed pasta with cyclops sauce? Hard candy lawn darts that we throw at the customers and they have to catch in their mouths?
Yeah! The third one!
Yeah. Jesse and I will be the first customer.
And the last.
And yeah. You get a hard candy lawn dart. And you get a hard candy lawn dart. And you're dead, I'm sorry.
Fuck.
Fourfinger thought for a moment. It's got to be something they could easily take with them on the road. Sandwiches, maybe? Inspiration hit them both suddenly, as if from an outside source.
Oh, shit.
Slippy said, "Yeah, but a different kind of sandwich. Like a sideways sandwich, folded into one round, flat piece of bread."
Fuck.
Fourfinger was nodding excitedly. That's brilliant, Slippy. Something a little spicy, to keep the travelers awake.
You're not doing this are you? Are you going to walk through the steps?
This will work. What do we call them? Slippy pondered a moment. I've got it. The one hand flat sand.
God.
Which?
You asshole. Oh my
god. You know, the one hand flat sand.
Which? I don't know why that didn't catch on.
Forefinger looked at her skeptically. No, it's got to be something short, and that was completely stupid. How about a takeo? You know, because you can take it and go. That gives us our tagline to put on the sign. I guess, but I'm still going to tell people about the fabulous one-hand flat sand. Which?
You fucking dick.
It's so fucking ridiculous. I know.
Oh, shit. Okay. I don't know where this is going, but go on.
The pressure in Slippy's head was still there, and now it was joined by an uneasy feeling. But I don't know, Forefinger. I get the feeling this place is no good. I don't know, like it sits on the top of a pixie Holocaust mass grave, which is on top of an elven Indian burial ground or something. She shivered. The gnome dismissed her concerns with a wave of his hand. Bah, you're still just shaken up because I was going to give you to the murder sex cult to save myself. I mean, you're just tired and hungry. I know. Why don't you go continue on to the river and catch some dinner? I'll start clearing out this rubble and begin my designs for our takeo stand. Slippy was about to object again, but changed her mind and turned toward the river. She could hear Forefinger mumbling to himself about a sturdy frame and some kind of fabric or leather for the walls to save on construction costs. Later that night, sleeping under a lean-to they put together with sticks and grass, Slippy did not hear Forefinger crouched at the edge of the blackened ring, muttering to himself about the takeo stand. Sort of like when another halfling from another tale who was going all schizo over an evil ring.
Wow.
Similar, not the same, totally not a ripoff of that.
Totally original story.
There was no way for Slippy to know that her vague suspicion earlier was dead on. This area was on top of a pixie holocaust mass grave, which was on top of an elven Indian burial ground. The next morning, Slippy wandered through the grasslands near the intersection of roads to find edible plants and grains to begin the production of their tacos. I mean, tacos. She figured that they could start selling even before the stand was built to start a revenue stream. By the time she returned later that afternoon, Slippy was shocked to see that Forefinger had already accumulated a pile of what she could only assume were posts under a pile of what appeared to be animal leathers. Damn, Forefinger, where did you get all of this? How did you afford it? Forefinger's eyes were darting back and forth. He seemed slightly hunched over and was still muttering to himself about the meats they could use in their food creations. It was all given to me by a group of very friendly nuns. They happened by while you were out and very charitably gifted us these supplies to help us out of our poverty. Slippy was confused about where nuns would get so many wooden posts and thick gray animal hides, but it appeared this would allow them to open up even sooner than they expected. Well, that's excellent news. I hope you invited them to come back and try our wares once we have it all put together. Forefinger turned away and steepled his fingers together in a way that could be considered sinister.
I have a feeling they'll be around, he said cryptically, giggling.
I get a bad feeling about this for some reason.
I think it might go south.
Yeah, no, that's completely unfounded.
Oh, okay.
Everything is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
During the night, Slippy had restless dreams about a short figure stabbing the fuck out of some nuns, banging their corpses, and then taking their bones. Let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm.
Sunshine, hold on, oh my god.
Yeah, see, nothing to worry about.
Luckily, it was only a dream.
That's right, yeah, a dream. She also saw visions of the last endangered rhinos being killed with poisoned rhino food and their skins harvested by the same short, dark figure.
Oh, fuck.
The next morning, Slippy awoke to find that Forefinger had apparently worked all night to construct their takeo stand. The posts were up, and the hides were wrapped around the outside and around the posts themselves to hide them from view. It was an impressive feat for a gnome, particularly since Slippy hadn't been woken by the sounds of construction.
Double damn, Forefinger! How did you get all of this done? Why didn't you wait till morning when I could help you? The gnome was even more hunched. His eyes looked sunken and were shifting around in an even crazier fashion than the day before. I couldn't sleep. Too much to do. Must get to work. Slippy was confused, but agreed that this puts them much further ahead of schedule than she had planned.
Yeah.
She set out again to find more ingredients that could make a delicious taco, hoping to come across a vegetable vendor or maybe some more kindly nuns with another donation. When she returned in the afternoon with herbs and grains, Forefinger had meat bubbling in a spicy-smelling dark red sauce, and a figure in a black hooded robe was walking away. "Who was that?" she asked. "Why did he have three capital G's on the back of his robe? G-G-G? That's a strange thing to have on one's robe." Forefinger scuttled around the taco stand, tasting and seasoning. A seeing stone had been placed in one corner of the stand, which was showing a continuous feed of the politically conservative Grey Fox News.
Oh, Jesus.
He was an investor. He brought us meat and sauce to get us started in return for a share of our, profits. Again, Slippy was confused about all of this good fortune suddenly falling into their laps. But again, it would help them open up even sooner. The pressure in her head had never left, and the edges of her vision were beginning to get fuzzy off and on. That's great, Forefinger, but listen, I've been thinking lately about reconnecting with my faith. Those nuns helping us out made me think about the nuns that raised me. You know I grew up in that orphanage run by the Sisters of the Church of Jesus Mice of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah! Fuck 'em!
Yes!
Take that!
Slippy always remembered the fairy tales the nuns would read to the children before bed. Classics we can all remember from childhood, like Cutty Wutty was a bear. Cutty Wutty, stab. That is all.
Cutty Wutty.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Another terrifying. And other classics like Hickory Dickory Dock, shut the fuck up and go to sleep. Slippy continued. How would you feel about naming this place Holy Tacos? We'll totally snag the religious demographic. The gnome looked as if he were swallowing vomit. he coughed. Why not? That night, Slippy again was troubled by her dreams. This time, she saw that short, dark figure clubbing orphans to death and harvesting their meat. She saw that man in the black robe with three capital G's on it pouring what she knew to be the blood of orphans over the meat while the short, dark figure hopped around, clapping and cackling.
Yeah.
She started awake, breathless. It was still dark, but she could see a faint, ominous red light coming from the taco stand. And Forefinger was nowhere to be seen. As she crept toward the stand, fear crept up her spine. Where had Forefinger gotten the supports for the stand? Were they actually timber? Why had she dreamt of nuns losing their bones to that small, creepy figure the night after Forefinger said nuns had given them the supplies? The posts holding up the stands couldn't be bones, right? Those gray animal hides, could they have been from rare endangered rhinos now that she looked closer at them? That meat he had been cooking, the red sauce, they couldn't be orphan meat and infant blood, right? That wasn't a dark priest of Super Satan in the black robe with what could have been 666 instead of GGG on the back, right?
Oh, shit!
The Grey Fox News suddenly playing on the new seeing stone in the taco stand. Wasn't it said to be the most evil of all newses? What was really going on? Dot, dot, dot.
Fuck!
Damn.
Oh, man.
That was fucking in. Really good. Clap, 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 clap. I'm gonna stop this now.
Three.
The Land of, thanks you for
that
wasting
bitch
your time listening
to
this shit.
Figure out what the fuck was going on sooner.
Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance.
Like, oh.
Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee in your ear holes.
Wow. That was nutballs.
It's the mother humping lamb of.
before that.
With the lowriders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's post.
Because it's before that, and no. The land is just always cursed, or...
I think it's...
I don't know.
In my mind, it's post that.
I also sincerely apologize to whoever has to follow that story, because I had no thoughts at
That's
all
gonna
of
be neat.
Where it was going to go.
Oh. Sorry, Mel. Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, God, don't say 2019 is 2 years from now. Wow. That's probably true. Somehow. Wait, what was the title of your story again?
Stand and Deliverance.
I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's about a taco stand, thus, clever as a motherfucker. Even though I don't, it's not.
Yeah! Good one. I thought that was a good story. Yes. Oh, shit. Balls.